Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Freaky As Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and love is in the air. It's beautiful. I love Valentine's Day because it's just such a cute holiday. Growing up, my parents always did something really cute for me on Valentine's Day. Like, they'd buy me flowers or buy me a giant teddy bear, which is always my favorite. A few years ago, actually, my dad bought me a giant stuffed dinosaur, and my fiance isn't really a big fan because it takes up like half the bed, but whatever though, tough shit, I guess. But yeah, that could be why I love this time of year so much. So yeah, ladies and gents, do something for that special someone in your life. It doesn't even have to be a huge thing. Just pick them up their favorite candy or watch their favorite movie with them, cook some dinner together. Anything to just let them know that you were thinking of them, because I promise you, whatever it is that you decide to do, it will mean the world to them. And it doesn't even have to be a significant other. It could be your kids, your parents, your best friend, your fucking cat. It could even be yourself. Show yourself some love. Don't act like you don't deserve that shit. And if you don't hear it from anyone else, then I will be here to tell you that I love you. And you are the greatest. All right, enough of the sappy shit. Now, I was having a tough time trying to figure out what I wanted to do for this episode, and then I was reminded of this very tragic story, and I knew immediately that I had to share it with all of you. And, you know, I didn't even realize, but this is an ironic case to be covering today because it is a love story, a very unfortunate love story. And it takes place in the spring of 2004 in Fort Worth, Texas. Amina and Sarah Saeed are attending Taekwondo class. Amina was 15 at the time, and Sarah was 14. Joseph, who was also attending the Taekwondo class that day, says in a Business Insider interview that he was smitten by her almost immediately. She was beautiful, with these amazing green eyes, and the two hit it off pretty quickly. Joseph's mother, Ruth, described their relationship as love at first sight, and they were inseparable from day one. Even after Sarah had lost interest and stopped going to class, Amina continued attending, and after 3 months of strictly only seeing each other at Taekwondo, Joseph started to get a little suspicious. This is when Amina explains to him that her father is a very traditional Egyptian man who was extremely strict on his girls. They were limited to a lot of things because of their culture and their father's beliefs. They weren't allowed to wear makeup. There was certain clothes that they weren't allowed to wear, and absolutely, positively, no boyfriends. Their father, Yasser, had planned to marry the girls off in Egypt as soon as they graduated, and they had absolutely no say in it. Yasser Saeed had immigrated from Egypt in 1983. Him and their mother, Patricia, had met when Patricia was only 15 years old. Yasser was 30. The two were married within just 2 weeks, and Patricia was said to have done anything and everything that Yasser asked. She was apparently afraid not to. Yasser was said to have ruled his household with an iron fist. He was constantly going through Sarah and Amina's phones just to make sure that they weren't getting into anything that they weren't supposed to. So obviously, Amina had to make sure to conceal her text with Joseph as well as she could, because at this point, the two had established a full-blown relationship. Joseph described it as puppy love in the sense that it was innocent and sweet and went no further than a flurry of passed notes, some furtive hand-holding, and an occasional stolen kiss. That first text was the beginning of a 4-year relationship. They began planning their life together. They already knew how many kids they wanted, and they knew what they were going to name them. They started learning of each other's heritage. He began teaching her Spanish, and she began teaching him Arabic. It was just beautiful, sprouting young love. While they were texting, Amina and Joseph had established this code language just in case Yasser was doing some sus shit. If she had texted the number 7, it meant that Yasser was confiscating her phone for the night and that no matter what, Joseph was not to respond to her texts. And sure enough, one night, Joseph gets a text from Amina after receiving the number 7 saying, "Hey, what's up? Can you call me?" Joseph ignored the text, and the next day, Amina had confirmed that she wasn't the one texting him. What a fucking snake. Like, seriously? After a while, Amina and Joseph had decided that it was too dangerous to continue to communicate via phone. So they started to pass around a notebook between the two of them, which is such a throwback. I don't know about you, but I remember having a designated notebook for each and every one of my friends that we would pass back and forth to each other in the hallways between class. Amina and Joseph would exchange the notebook during Taekwondo, and she kept it in her school locker at all times because she knew better than to bring that shit home. In June of 2005, Yasser had left to Egypt for a couple months, and so Amina and Joseph were able to spend some time together outside of Taekwondo. They attended a church event together and exchanged these cute little promise rings, and they were finally able to get a glimpse of what it would be like if they were able to openly date each other. That was until October, when Yasser returned. Things, unfortunately, went back to quote-unquote normal, I guess. However, Amina had gotten careless when it came to her and Joseph's notebook. For months, she didn't have to worry about making sure it stayed in her school locker, and one day, she makes the ultimate mistake. She brings the notebook home, and Yasser does wind up finding it. Trying to keep Yasser from finding out about Joseph, Amina lied and told him that it was just an imaginary boyfriend, a fantasy. She knew that if Yasser found out that Joseph was a real boy, he would kill him.
Do you like listening to stories about serial killers? Unsolved mysteries? How about a cult or two? And what about those lesser-known serial killers? Or how about the legend of a cryptid that will surely keep you up at night? And I know you'll love a good conspiracy theory, because who doesn't? Join me, Kayla, as my co-host Lexi and I tell you stories that will keep you coming back for more on our show, A Little Wicked. You can find A Little Wicked on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Check out our website, alittlewickedpodcast.webador.com, and our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all under, you guessed it, A Little Wicked. We can't wait to tell you our stories.
A few months pass, and Amina fails to show up to class. She isn't seen or heard from for almost 2 months. Joseph tries contacting via phone, but it's been completely shut off, and he begins to imagine the worst, of course. At some point, Amina does make contact with Joseph via their Taekwondo instructor. She tells him to tell Joseph that Yasser had purchased a house in Louisville about 60 miles away, and that is where she had been. After finding out about her and Sarah's secret boyfriends, Yasser had brutally beaten Amina. Then he brought the family to Louisville and completely cut her off from all contact with Joseph. At some point, Amina was able to obtain a burner phone so that they could keep in touch and plan their escape. Yasser's plan to marry his daughters off in Egypt had been sped up at this point, and he had already made arrangements for Amina to marry a 47-year-old man in Egypt. Joseph was working and saving money for an apartment for the two of them to run away to immediately after graduation. They just needed to wait. On Christmas Day of 2007, Joseph receives a text from Amina saying that they had left Yasser finally. Patricia had packed the girls in the car and they were headed to Kansas to her great aunt's house. Once Yasser had realized that they were gone, he goes completely ballistic. He begins calling everyone he knew, asking if anyone knew of their whereabouts. I'm going to assume at this point that this is him panicking at the realization that he's just completely lost control. Unfortunately, this would all be short-lived. It's always said that Patricia did whatever Yasser wanted. She was completely brainwashed by this man who groomed her at a young age to bend at his will. And so I believe that during this short time of freedom, she becomes afraid of what might happen if Yasser somehow finds out where they are and comes looking for them. I believe that she buckled under the pressure, and she tells Amina and Sarah that they are going to go back. She doesn't outright say that she's bringing them back to Yasser. She tells them that it's the anniversary of her mother's death and that she just simply wanted to go leave flowers at her grave. Some would argue and say that Patricia knew exactly what she was doing. She was leading her daughters straight to their death. However, I truly believe that she thought that Yasser wasn't going to hurt them. Someone who has been abused for so many years, you can't really expect that not to have some kind of effect on their psyche. But I mean, who really knows? I could be just playing devil's advocate here, but I want to give Patricia the benefit of the doubt. She herself was just a child when this asshole took over her life, and she hasn't been able to make a single decision for herself for pretty much all of her adult life. Later, in an interview with their great aunt Jill, whose house they had been staying at in Kansas during that time, she admits feeling guilty for allowing them to walk out of her front door so easily. But I don't think that anyone truly knew what Yasser was capable of. When Patricia drove Sarah and Amina back home, Yasser had done exactly what he had threatened to do for all of those years. What no one truly believed he would do. Except for Amina. On January 1st, 2008, New Year's Day, Yasser said that he was taking Sarah and Amina out to get food. Patricia insisted on coming with, but Yasser ultimately refused. He drove his daughters in his taxicab to a motel in Irving. This is where Yasser Saeed shot 17-year-old Sarah and 18-year-old Amina to death. He shot them a total of 11 times and then fled the scene on foot. There is a recording of the 911 call from Sarah where she tells dispatchers, "I've been shot. Oh my God, I'm dying." Amina had died instantly. Several years passed and Yasser was nowhere to be found. In 2014, he was placed on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. Even though the case had gone cold, information was surfacing about just how sick and twisted Yasser Saeed was. In 2017, a home video was released where you hear Yasser commenting to his daughters, "Nice legs, very nice," and the camera pans over to them in their beds. In 1998, Amina and Sarah, who were 9 and 8 at that time, reported Yasser for sexual abuse. However, they later withdrew their accusation, saying that they had lied so that they could move in with their grandmother. Whether or not the accusation was true, I wish something could have been done at this time because something had to have been going on for them not to want to live with their parents. As children, these girls were clearly afraid of their father, and they were forced to continue to grow up in the same house as that monster. Always being afraid, never knowing peace or security, and it absolutely breaks my heart. Yasser hid from authorities for 12 years. In late August of 2020, Yasser was taken into police custody in Dallas with no incident. According to evidence that was presented in trial, Yasser's 59-year-old brother, Yassin Saeed, and Yasser's son, Islam Saeed, helped Yasser evade arrest by hiding him in an apartment in Bedford, Texas. FBI placed the residents on 24-hour surveillance when a maintenance worker of the apartment reported seeing Yasser. During the surveillance, authorities witnessed Yassin and Islam drop off groceries and take out trash. They were arrested on the same day as Yasser. Yassin Saeed received 12 years and Islam Saeed 10 years for harboring a fugitive. Yasser Saeed was indicted on capital murder charges, making him eligible for the death penalty. And that is the murder of Amina and Sarah Saeed. Thank you guys for sticking it out with me till the end. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. It really helps the show out. If you want to further support us and you have a few extra bucks to spare, consider donating to our Ko-fi. The link will be in the show notes. Let's continue this conversation over on socials. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at FreakyAFPod. That's FreakyAFPod. Or you can shoot me an email at FreakyAFPodcast@gmail.com. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you freaky folk, and I'm looking forward to talking with you all again here next week. Bye!